Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way. Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a buck on a snowy day. Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away. Baiting a hook and anchors away. Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun, our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. That's our cue. Good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I'm thawing out. This morning, I'm thawing out.
What are you thawing out.
Thawing out, yeah.
Okay.
Thawing well, it is 21 degrees right now.
Yeah, well, when I come through Jackson Creek Pass this morning, it was 17.
Ooh.
It was a little bit chilly down there in Clear Creek or Jackson Creek or
it's
whatever.
Always cold in those low spots.
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. Well, this is Inside Outdoors. Welcome, everybody, this morning. And I'm Buddy Bill. And by golly, guess who we got back this morning?
It's Donald Jordan.
Lord have mercy. He's back from Florida.
Hallelujah.
And
came back a week too early.
I asked him as we come in, what in the world are you doing here? Not that we don't like you. It's the fact that you come back to some cold, cold weather.
Well, I got to say that the primary reason I left a week early is I was tired of trying to line up a campground to stay in every week or every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah?
Because they're just packed. And I told you earlier before the show that all these big ones doubled their rates this year. It's $70 a night to stay in one of those, sardine can arrangements. They just got them in there right next to each
other. Oh, they're just like cordwood in there and stacked.
And they're not just camping trailers. They're all 60-foot buses. Like the Greyhound terminal when you pull into one of those places now.
Well, I'll be darned.
It's just, one after every one of them's $1 million coach. Outrageous.
That's the reason they're in there. They can afford it.
Yeah, that's right. And that's probably the reason they raised it, because they knew they'd pay.
You probably got the right idea there. That's just about right.
That guy who pays him for $1 million motor coach, he's not going to back up at $70 a night.
No, that there's just chicken feed.
Well, that's kind of like the debates we had last week. It was what, $2,700 to get a seat in there?
It was?
Yeah.
To get a seat at what debates?
The Democratic debates that they just had.
I thought those were all free.
You would think that the little guy would have a chance to go in there, but apparently Bloomberg paid a bunch of people to clap at him and stuff, and, $1,700, but it was a lot. It was almost a couple $1,000 or maybe more.
That's as bad as the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe worse.
Or worse,
well, that's kind of
yeah.
what it was like, when you watched it. But I didn't mean to go apart from Florida, but that big money just seems like the little guy can't do anything anymore.
That's it. Money controls everything.
Well, and it's not necessarily that you can't afford it, but it's like, maybe you just don't want to live that way. You don't want to drive an RV into a campground. You want to maybe camp?
Well, you can still do that. There are free places out in these wildlife management areas, but they have no facilities. You got to bring your own water. There might be a vault toilet.
Alligator repair kit.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Well. Oh, mercy.
That's it.
But like you said, Florida's getting pretty crowded.
And no good fishing. That was the big word you said this morning.
Well,
fishing sucks.
That's the problem, you know. And me and Don was talking, or well, you too, back several years ago, Florida was excellent fishing. I mean, you know, you'd go down there and crappie fish or shell cracker fish or bass fish, and you'd always catch fish. I mean, it was just a going thing.
That's right. But well, you still catch fish now, but there might be you might get a 5 or 6 inch bass.
Yeah,
You might not see a shell cracker all day long, or a crappie. You know, if you get a crappie, they're like Lake Monroe crappies. It's just not. And the worst part is the salt water. It's just terrible.
Like you said, it was overfished. And I won't mention any names because you probably know them and a lot of other people know them. But I've known people that went down there and stayed a month or whatever and to fish and went down there just to fish and bring back coolers full of fish, fillets.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. And there's really no enforcement. I mean, the law enforcement guys are out there. But they're out there to make sure you're not drinking a beer while you're driving your boat. They're not out there checking on the fish.
And I know one guy that had a deep freeze.
A deep freeze.
Actually had a deep freeze.
In his camper.
Loaded that thing full. And come back to Bloomington with fish sticking out the door.
The same thing is going on all over the country. Every place you go, it's overfished, and especially on things like bluegills, you know. I mean, how many stories have I seen in the past 10 years about some guy from Indiana and Wisconsin caught with 250 bluegills in his cooler?
Yeah.
It's a 25-fish limit every place except here. So you leave Indiana, you think, well, I can take hundreds of them from this state, too. Well, you can.
You can if you get by with it,
That's right.
But you better not get caught.
Yeah, it's costly if you're caught.
Well, it's a shame that Florida's got that away. And, of course, the reason it's so crowded, it's warm weather, and that's where people want to go, and more people are retiring all the time. And
yes, it's all my generation's fault. They're just too many baby boomers, and they all got money now, it seems, except me.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and they got some moolah.
It's incredible how many rich people there are in Florida now. Just $1 million house after another $1 million house, with their $1 million bus parked out behind the house because the homeowners association won't let you park it
in front
of the house.
Yeah,
and and they're all gated communities. Just as I left, there was a story in this Fort Myers paper about a new 10,000-home subdivision being built out in the Everglades.
And holy cow.
This is going to be just like the villages that started out as a 10,000-home place, which is now 50 or 60,000 and a town into itself. You know.
Right. Yeah, they got their own school. They got their own fire department. Their own police department. They got the villages has got all of it their own, and have had for years.
It also has the highest sexually transmitted disease rate in the state.
You got that right, and that was in the paper down there.
Oh, it's been in
many times.
And you got to remember that these villages. Is mostly senior citizens.
Yeah, and it's the venereal capital of the year, of the state.
It is. It definitely is.
Yeah.
Hey, we got a caller here. Hello, caller.
Hey, good morning, boys.
There he is.
Guess who that is?
I recognize that voice.
You recognize that voice?
Do. Hi, John.
Hey, Don. Good to have you back.
Well, thanks. I appreciate
it. Thanks for letting me sit in your chair for a little while. You and Rick allowed me to do that, and I enjoyed it. But also, very much thank you for letting me sit in my kitchen and drink coffee this morning. I appreciate that.
Well,
yeah, it's a little cool this morning, John.
Well, it's been a little cool while that rascal's been gone.
Yeah.
But he hasn't said anything yet that makes me want to go to Florida. I just want to put another stick of wood on and stay home.
Well, that's kind of with me, John.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it just doesn't sound as good as it used to.
Oh, John. No.
I'm sorry to hear that. Number one, I'm sorry to hear how expensive it is. And number two, I'm hating that it's getting so populated, you just don't feel comfortable down there anymore, you know?
Well, it got to stop at a stoplight nowadays could take 15, 20 minutes.
Well, that's just, I hate that, even though I wasn't a Florida guy anyway. Hey, Don, you probably know all about this, but there was an article in the local paper about a birding trail that's going to feature 35 DNR sites, including our local parks. You read anything about that?
No, I haven't, but every state seems to have a birding trail now. So, you know, it's not really a trail. It's a bunch of different places. It'd be like goose pond.
And they're going to have it so you can pull it up on your fancy outfits and go to places supposedly good areas that are marked but won't disturb the birds, supposedly. I don't know about that, but that's what they're saying. And I just thought it was interesting. Maybe if they focus a little more on things like that, we'll get built back up a little bit on our bird population.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I know. You don't cheer me up much. You come up with the side of it I don't like, but I'm always trying to be an optimist, even when I'm not. But I have noticed a lot more birds here since I started being a little more careful with my bird feeder. You were kind of the inspiration to get me working on that. But they're mostly finches of different varieties. I'm not getting a lot of stuff.
Well, we don't have the. Actually, here's some good news for you. Just last week in Florida, there was a headline in a bunch of papers that they spotted the first big raft of migrating birds on radar coming up from the Gulf of Mexico and from Jamaica and Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So the first big slug of those has come up. And when I got back here yesterday, there was a northern flicker in my bird feeder, which they usually in the past haven't been at my house until another few weeks, you know.
And I haven't seen anything like that yet. I'm still just seeing the little birds, but I'm seeing a lot more of them since I'm taking better care of my feeder.
Well, that definitely helps.
Well, listen, I'll let you guys visit. It's good to have you back. And
thank you, John.
Stay healthy, and we're supposed to warm up tomorrow, I think.
We'll see.
Time will tell.
We needed a cold day for Don just to know what fun he'd been missing.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Exactly right.
Gee, thanks a lot.
Take care, boy.
See ya.
See you later. Well, that's it's been kind of chilly. Not really that bad of a winter, though.
No, we haven't. We haven't had a bad winter. I mean, it's cold, but what do you expect in winter? You know, in Indiana. We expect a little cold weather, and
we expected more than we got. I think you know. Remember all those forecasts early on?
Right,
worst winter and ever. You know, uh-huh. All kinds of snow.
Had us scared to death.
Didn't happen, did
it's
it?
It's not what the groundhog
said. Not yet, anyway.
Not yet.
Not yet, anyway. But they scared us to death. But I heard a weatherman last night say that March was going to be above normal temperatures.
Well,
for March.
That might be true, but we'll see. And I want you to note, all of you folks who don't believe in our weather forecast signs and symbols around here, that when the first high school basketball games in the tournament were last night, There was the very first games were last night.
Was it last night?
Yes, there was several, not a whole bunch of them, but just a few because they ran out of places for them to play. So it snowed. So it always snows during the basketball tournament.
Well, that's just a little just a little bit of teaser there.
Well,
we get a little more into it and it gets a little hot and heavier, we'll get a real snow.
There's always one.
Always one. Yeah.
And they can be big.
North,
big
they got it. I mean, north, they got pretty good snow.
Well, we had snow on the ground here.
We had snow here, but just a little old skiff, just enough to tease you.
Enough to make the deck slick.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It'd do that all right. Yeah, just enough for that, that's for sure.
And just enough that I had to re-winterize my camping trailer because it was going to be so cold when I got back here.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to spend a day draining that thing
pumping
antifreeze into it and yada 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 just because I came back a week early.
You didn't have a garage or anything to back it into.
Well,
you
no.
got a bigger one now, ain't you?
No, it's taller. Still
taller.
Yeah, it's taller. That new one that I just got has, and I got to tell you about this. It has high axles on it, so you can have more clearance, and the sewer thing in the back doesn't hang down as low. It's up another foot and a half, you know. So going to this Forest Service campground, I made the mistake of following my GPS, right?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
You just
Springs here.
Watch out.
Man, I got him.
Okay. I didn't actually see any mosquito. I didn't get a mosquito bite on this trip.
Well,
you won't find any up here.
You just heard your first one here. Then
he must have been left over behind these when they repainted this room.
It may have been. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so anyway.
Yeah. Go
I was
ahead.
Going to this campground. And I followed the GPS, and it starts out as a sand road all kind of washboardy and with holes in it, but you know you could go 10 miles an hour and get through. But then I get to this place where the road narrowed down to just wide enough to get my truck and camper through. This went on for many miles. There was one point where there's a tree on each side that were so close that you couldn't have got a pack of cigarettes in
between. My gosh.
And then when I got the camper up to get through that tree, I mean, it was really skinny. It was like a quarter of an inch. And it managed to scrape one of the leveling bubbles off the side of my camper. Didn't touch the paint or anything, but got one of those leveling bubbles.
Got one of the levelers.
And I'm telling you, it was the worst drive I've had in many years. It took forever to get it. It was 13 miles, and it took me like 4 hours.
Where was it going?
To a campground in the Apalachicola National Forest. And it turns out that the way that I'd seen on the map that I was going to go was actually the best way to go instead of the GPS, which is often the case.
Yeah, that does.
Hey, we've got to take a break.
Okay. Don't go away, folks. Get you some bacon and eggs and throw a little old gravy on there, boys. I'll tell you what, now that tastes pretty good this morning in a hot cup of coffee, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville. Online at WFHB and still spinning around our beautiful sun here and this solar system. So we're on WFHB, and this is Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back. Oh, by the way, it is pretty cold out there. Right now we're looking at 21 degrees, but it's going to get warm tomorrow, high of 59, then some rain early in the week. But still up in the 50s, so not too bad. Anyway, yep, you're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back.
I want some bait, I want some bass. I've been a sportsman for a mess of fish.
Here we're back.
Here we're back with a mess of fish.
That's right.
And you got some bait.
Neil Young, buddy.
And Don didn't catch no fish.
Don didn't even fish.
I thought you went a time or two.
I thought about it.
Oh, was that as far as you got?
Yeah, as far as I got.
Oh, I thought you got.
I actually put my rod and reel together.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a start.
I did make a few casts, but it was just so useless that, you know. I'm not even going to take fishing equipment with me if I go down there again, and that $70 a night and stuff. I did find one that would play. Actually, if you got your senior pass, you can go to the National Forest campgrounds, and it costs you about $10 a night.
Right.
But that's with no water, no electricity.
Well, that's it. You need a little electricity and water.
Right? Well, if you got... You know, I got solar now, so I got electricity, but it's not really, you can't run an air conditioner or a microwave oven, but you don't need that, you know, you don't really need that.
Well, but, no, you can do without that.
And with my portable dish satellite TV and my solar thing, that runs everything in my camper that I need.
Oh, yeah?
The solar, I don't see why more people don't have that. It's just so, it's like magic. You know, you set it out and you don't do a thing and all of a sudden you got electricity.
Now, does that, you say enough to run your TV?
I run my television and my receiver for the satellite dish, and the satellite dish itself has moves around, you know. And then you got lights, then you got, and fans. You got to have fans if you're cooking inside your camper. Get rid of the gas fumes.
Yeah, know? Right.
So that's really about all you need is some lights and the fans, and you got gas for your stove, gas for your refrigerator.
Now, did that come with the camper, or did you have to buy that?
Oh, I bought that separate.
Separate.
Right. And I'm about to double up on my solar so that I can have unquestionable power.
Yeah.
And it makes no noise. I'm sitting at this campground now. This is one up in the Apalachicola, and you know, there's only 10 sites there, right? And only people in about half of them. And at 7:30 in the morning, it's here comes the generators from there's two big buses. I don't know how they even got in there, and they're allowed to run their generators from dawn till 10 o'clock at night. So here we got those generators running from dawn till 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, man.
And even though they claim that they're, you can't even hear them. You can hear them.
Well, yeah, you can hear them.
Yeah, you can hear them.
They can tell you all that they want to. But.
And another thing I discovered on this trip was wildlife management areas in Florida all have campgrounds, or most of them have campgrounds. They're free. They are free. You don't have to pay a penny. All you have to do is get a permit. That's not a bad deal, is it?
No, that's not bad.
And there are nice places that right on a lake, you know, lake view right out the window. Not very many people around. You do have those buses with generators. So
yeah.
They're everywhere.
Now, do they have a place where you, a water faucet where you can get water and stuff?
They do, but it's not potable water. It's an old hand pump like Grandma had.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There may be different arrangements at different ones, though. The one I was at, that's the way it was. And stinky water, you know, it's that swamp water.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Oh, Lord.
So you don't want to drink it.
No, but, no, no, you don't even cook with it.
But you can, you know, wash dishes with it.
And yeah, if you boil it.
Why not? So
I wouldn't even want to wash dishes in some of that.
Well, it's just swamp water.
Yeah, it's swamp water. Ooh, yes.
I had that at my house in Inverness, and I had to get this big evaporating thing, tank, that dribbled water down through all the time to get that stink out of it, you know, aerated it. The most complicated well system I've ever had, and you still couldn't drink it. You know, it didn't taste good. It was nasty.
Well, yeah, nasty. You got the right one.
And then I'm sitting there smelling the nasty water and drinking out of my gallon that I bought at Wally World for drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
And it, pop, here comes a story up on something that says that there's high arsenic levels in all this bottled water that we're buying to not get arsenic. You know, it's all, it's in it all. You know, higher levels than they ever said.
Yeah.
Than they ever said. Well, isn't that dandy? So we get to buy our own water and our own arsenic.
Yeah, you get to buy it separate. Yeah.
Well, and Nestle's, of course, is pumping water out of the ground faster than it can get in the ground all over the country. Florida's one of the worst places for it. They're running PR ads on TV down there, what a great company we are and how many jobs we provide, just because everybody's upset about them pumping all the springs dry. Florida's got these beautiful springs, right? Used to have,
yeah.
Now it's only got a few, you know, not like there was one in every county in the past, not anymore. Those big, beautiful springs are just little dribbles of water coming to the surface now. You know, we can look forward to that here in Indiana, too.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, it's here.
Right,
it's here.
It's just not got full blast yet.
Michigan, they don't have enough water in the spring runs to keep the trout alive in the streams anymore because of Nestle's and the other guys that are pumping. Nestle's is the biggest. That's the chocolate company, you know, French.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you have it.
And they're making bottled water out of it, huh?
Yes, all that, you know, those plastic bottles that are floating in rafts of miles of it out in the ocean. That's from buying that plastic water. Plastic bottles on everything. Everything you buy is in a plastic bottle now.
All right. Yeah, we talked about that, I think, last week, didn't we, Rich?
Yes, we did, and, hemp, I'll say it again, you can make anything that's plastic out of hemp.
Well, there's lots of things to do besides plastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to have, well, they'll probably never do it, but they need to do it.
Well,
change their,
I don't know. I used to think that in my lifetime that there would have been some progress. Well, there was some progress for a little while, but we backslid.
We're backsliding on a lot of stuff.
Except money. Everybody's got more money, wants more money, got to have more money. Yeah, and they got it, too,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They got it. Where do those million-dollar buses come from? Those $10 million houses, et cetera, et cetera. And a house, I was just looking last night, they had an ad for a house someplace. You know, it was in Avon. It was a $320,000 house, and it was just a little ranch house, you know? That's the kind of house you used to pay $50,000 for.
Or less.
And it's now $300,000. What is going on out there? I mean, and it's not slowing down the pace of inflation. Mm-hmm. It's getting higher, it seems to me, although everybody keeps saying it's wonderful out there. Well, it's wonderful if you're a stockbroker, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. No, I'm like you. I don't know. I really don't know what's happening, really.
Well, what's happening is a lot of people are getting real rich and a lot of people are getting less rich.
Well, yeah, a lot of them are getting poor.
Yeah, right, downright poor. Yeah. That's right. More people living in cars and under bridges.
I mean, you know, to think a house that sold for back years ago for $12,000, a nice big 4-3-bedroom house. And now, like you said, $400,000, $500,000. Look what California's done.
Oh, man.
Lord, have mercy.
Well, my first house I bought out in Whitehall back in 1971, 72, right? I paid $22,500 for that with 20 acres. And the last time it sold, which has been a while now, because some people from New Hampshire or someplace bought it as an investment, so it's a rental, they paid over $200,000 for it. That's been some years ago now.
Well, yeah.
And hey, we got a caller here.
Okay, let him in.
Let him have it.
Bring him on.
I'm the other John. You guys got me cheered up this morning too.
Oh, good. Fire away.
Next Wednesday, they're going to go in for whatever the rubber stamp from the Planning Commission to do a 1,000-unit development here off of 37. Between 46 bypass and the new 17th Street overpass.
Well, I knew that woods there wouldn't last long after they put the new four-lane.
Well, they've been after it for about 4 years,
uh-huh.
And they've come back. And again, I don't know how to say this correctly, but somewhere along the line, the mayor decided we were going to be the poor part of town. This is a 90-year-old neighborhood up here. What they call in all these plans and stuff. This was a core neighborhood, 90 years old, but they've virtually destroyed it. And this, the clincher for them getting this development done is the trade-off for X amount of lots being dedicated to low-income housing. Well, when you look at Bloomington... In Monroe County, we are the highest real estate in the state. It used to be us and Fishers. Now it's Monroe County. And this is all a result of developers and our administration and our county officials allowing this to happen. And again, Don's alluded to, you know, the voting box is the only place we can fix this stuff. But the people, they have the land use committees and all these things, but there's no preservation or there's no whatever.
And you're right, John, and you know what it is? It's money. It's money, money,
it's
money.
It's just money, and that's
money.
The other thing. These aren't, this Trinitas is from Lafayette.
Oh, boy. Got some Lafayetters. We got some Purdue people going to move in. Isn't that sweet?
Well, and you know this. I have the most unsustainable, ungreen development across the street from me that I've spoken to you folks about. It, where they went in and bulldozed an 80-year-old 8-acre woods that a third of is a 60-foot deep sinkhole to build these three apartment buildings over here. That are substandard construction on filled gravel foundations, not concrete.
What? Where exactly are you talking about?
I live at Crescent Road and what is now 17th Street.
Crescent Road. Now that's the little dead end road, kind of. That's right next.
Well,
to the...
when 17th used to curve around, it didn't go out to the highway.
Uh huh.
That little connector there that took you out to Vernal Pike is called Crescent Road.
Okay.
Yeah, because up the hill there.
That little connector that goes out to the highway they call Fountain Road, and it's a dead end there where you used to cross the highway at Hannah Trucking.
Oh, yeah.
There's a neat little environment here. And like I say, I've watched here in the last 3 years they bulldozed this 80-year-old 8-acre woods across from me, set aside every restriction for building around a sinkhole and on slopes over 17%.
Well, that's Indiana for you.
Town developer.
Yeah, well, all those apartments built up and down the streets of Bloomington are out-of-town developers, too.
And look at them.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when you couldn't remodel your front porch in Bloomington without your neighbors on both sides saying they were cool with it and, you know, what kind of siding. And I'm not saying that was good either. But now it's like, you know, you pay the right people or...
Well, even now, I hear, you know, I have a lot of friends who are in the construction business. And they're still complaining about, oh, you can't, we'll never be able to build a big subdivision in Bloomington again because of all these rules they got. Well, I guess this just goes to show you that ain't true.
Well, and here's the interesting thing, too. You know, this, what a beautiful spot they're going to go in and destroy.
Oh, yeah. It's always a beautiful spot.
Not a quarter of a mile to the west where Vernal used to tee off at Woodyard Road. There's a parcel there that's flat and open, been for sale forever. boy, it'd be a great spot for this development. But, you know, they don't. There's no amenities out here. If you're building for low-income people, that's the other trade-off, is that they're going to create a new bus route through this. That's how big it is to service this. And ultimately, that's all of us paying for it. It's not just,
well,
you know, the developer. That's tax money paying for the bus service.
That place you're talking about is probably not within the city limits.
Now, just, you know, we used to have the 2 mile fringe, and hell, they spent more money in Bloomington on master plans.
Yeah.
I mean, we're also talking about a town that's managed to pollute their water systems and their sewer systems and build and tear down 2 parking garages.
I just went by that new one this morning, and, you know, it's finally empty over there. They got it's down to the gravel in the bottom, and the guy's. Insurance sales place is still there.
Hey, still there.
We got to take a quick break here. Hear the music, and we will be back.
So don't go away. We'll be right back in a short.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. It is now 21 degrees in downtown Bloomington and fair. Going to be sunny today, high of 38. And tomorrow, increasing clouds, high of 59, almost 60. And then we're looking at Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, a chance of rain. And looks like it's going to stay right around 55. So, Don, you brought some good weather. And we'll be right back to talk about it here on Inside Outdoors.
It ain't a bunch of beans like they serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. Whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. More biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
You're up. He's back with the harp.
Yeah, that's a good one there, boy.
That's a nice looking harp you got there.
Yes, that's a good one.
It's a Russian one.
A Russian one?
Yes, my wife ordered this from Ruski Land.
That there has got a good sound to it.
They know how to make a
case for it and everything.
Yeah. It's you're supposed to lean over your hole where your cockroaches are hiding and start twanging this thing, and the cockroaches are supposed to come crawling out.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be darned.
Supposed to drive bugs out of their holes.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah, well.
It's amazing.
Well, they're running all over Monroe County after that concert.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you. Well, what's the fishing news? I know there is no fishing news because it's been too cold.
I did see one boat go down to the lake. I don't know what he went down there for, but
see if he can get through the ice. I guess so.
But I haven't talked to anybody that's really been fishing.
The last interchange I had with a fisherman was Dan Wagner. You know,
Dan
Hook Wagner, and he usually is a cold weather kind of guy. He likes to get out there. And he said he hadn't gone out. He didn't take, there was a cute couple of breaks in there where it got warm, you know.
Yeah, right.
So he's waiting too now. So, you know, if Dan Wagner's not fishing, I don't expect there's probably anybody fishing.
No, Dan, he takes that pretty serious.
He's got a serious boat now, too. Have you seen his Ranger?
No.
He has a fancy boat.
Oh, has he got it really upgraded?
Oh,
huh?
Man.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Old Dan the man.
Well, Dan's still involved with the Crappiethon USA, you know?
And yeah.
They still have Crappiethon USA. They just don't have it here anymore.
They've still got it. Yeah.
They have it up at Salamone and Mississinewa in Indiana now. And I heard him say that they might try to have another one at Monroe one of these days, but they're not getting the kind of people they used to get.
Well, things kind of went down when that recession hit. It sure put a quietus to a lot of things.
A lot of stuff hadn't come back yet.
And it hasn't come back.
And it probably isn't going to come back. But in any case.
And of course, Lake Monroe, what have they done?
Nothing. I just talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
just what always happens.
They haven't done anything to Lake Monroe.
Well, the Forest Service is doing something to Lake Monroe.
Well, let's don't get into that. Good Lord. Ain't that a sight? I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's like we don't have enough trouble. You know, we don't have enough problems. Let's put some more problems in
here. Yeah, that's exactly what they're looking at.
So, if you want to go fishing, you better have a friend with a farm pond is all I can say.
Right.
And you know, even a farm pond, they're wanting to put, you know, chemicals in those now to treat the weeds. You know, you've seen those ponds that are bright green.
Mm-hmm.
That's
chemicals.
That's chemicals, right?
Yep.
And those ponds don't turn out to be very good fishing either.
Well, not till them chemicals are all gone. It's not good. Not good, boys.
So there's one thing that might be good is mushrooming.
Well, I'm a little skeptical on the mushrooms this year.
Well, I know you are because of the snow.
No snow, boys. I hope I'm wrong, but... no more snow than we've got so far. It's not looking good.
Well, you know, we didn't have much snow last year, right?
No, we didn't. But we had a lot of mushrooms.
According to my buddies over in Greene County, they found more mushrooms than they'd found in years.
Oh, they had found a lot, yeah.
Last year. So, maybe.
Maybe we've had enough snow to.
I hope that's right.
To help the mushrooms along. But,
have you seen any of these pictures that I've been putting on the Inside Outdoors Facebook page?
I saw them. Yeah.
I mean, in these are places like Missouri and Arkansas. You know, places you never think about hunting mushrooms, and they got truckloads of them. Truckloads.
Hmm.
And Michigan, of course, you know, is coming up.
Yeah, they always I guess they still catch
them. They got a lot of
find
mushrooms.
A lot of them out there.
Of course, you got to know where to go. There's all kinds of state and national forest land in Michigan that you can hunt, but, you know, you got to know where to go.
Right.
And, I'm looking for, I didn't have a morel to eat last year. I didn't find a single morel.
Well, I had a friend that gave me a couple of messes or I wouldn't have had any.
Well, lucky you. I'm glad that you got some. But I'm going to have to get out there with my cane and hobble up and down the ridge lines looking for mushrooms.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
My prime spots got clear cut 2 years ago.
Well, all the spots we used to go to has got a house on it. Or, or like you say, they've been bulldozed over or clear cutted.
My favorite quail hole that I used to hunt over by Worthington, that's got a house on it.
Yeah. Well, see, well, they just drove the wildlife out.
Well, and you wonder what, you know, people wonder why they got mountain lions in their backyard and coyotes everywhere. Well, where else are they going to live?
Right.
You know, we've run them out.
We run them out. Yeah, they got to go somewhere.
Well, you know, I'm 75 years old now.
You that old?
I am. I'm 75 years old.
You don't look a day over 60.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you look young to me.
You know, if I'm lucky, you know, I'll probably not see the worst that's coming. You know, I probably will not outlive that.
Well, I don't think we will either, really.
I mean, we're seeing the start.
It's coming.
We're seeing the start of it.
And, you know, it's this next generation, it's going to be rough.
Oh, I guess
it looks to me like. And like you said, we're, all these people, we're, I mean, you take another 20 years.
Going to be people on top of people.
Oh, it's going to be ridiculous.
I heard some pro-development person say, well, you know, Don, when you look out that airplane when you're flying over the country, there's an awful lot of space down there. I say, space for what? More people.
More people, yeah.
That's what they want.
Yeah, more people.
More people. More people means more money. I had this argument with Bill Schrader, who was the editor of the Herald
Times.
Yeah,
I know who you're talking
remember
about.
That guy. To him, more people meant more circulation. More circulation meant more money. More money for the paper meant more money for Bill and for Scott Schurz and for the rest of the family up in South Bend who don't own it anymore. But in any case, that's how they view things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because, you know, they can escape this. If you got enough money, you can go to some pristine island somewhere or some country that hadn't been ruined yet, like, you know, what is that country? Maybe
by your own island.
Maybe Ecuador, but, you know, with resource extraction is killing everything. And, well, daggone it. It's the good thing is that the birds are coming back. Spring is going to be here before too long. And it's 21st, isn't it? 21st of March.
21st.
Well, we've seen some crocuses coming up.
Yes.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I figured they'd be up. They'll be up for big time next week with some sun out. You know, they're wild crocuses. Have you ever seen any of those?
Yeah.
They're not very big, but boy, they're pretty.
I was going to say, they're beautiful.
Yeah, they really are. They're real delicate little things. And there's some in my neighborhood. Luckily, they're still there. So I'll be looking for those before too long. They come up before the tame ones.
Right, yeah.
And not the tame ones, but the commercial ones, I guess.
They
have been improved.
Their originals or whatever.
Yeah. And fishing, well, I don't know about fishing, how that's going to be. Like I say, you get a farm pond and get some bee moth.
And go out there. That's your best bet.
I'd say so. Finding a good pond that hasn't been stuff full of channel catfish. That's what they do to most of these ponds now that were good bluegill, but turn them into catfish holes. Now, I understand Griffey's pretty good now.
That should be about time for it to start producing pretty nice.
People were catching, you know, every
game. But they're yeah, go ahead.
Another cooler full of fish. Every guy goes in there, you know.
Yeah, catches everything and keeps everything he catches, and that eliminates him.
Well, they want to feed the whole neighborhood and show them what a great fisherman they are, that they can catch that many fish and feed you for one big blowout, you know.
Right.
With some brews and maybe some fried potatoes to go along with it. But I still remember having mushrooms, bluegill fillets, and that early wilted lettuce salad.
Ooh.
You know, yes. Doesn't that sound good?
Oh, no, that does.
A big plate of mushrooms and a big plate of fried bluegill fillets and a big bowl of
wilted lettuce,
man,
with bacon grease.
Bacon grease and sugar and vinegar.
Ooh. You're making me hungry, buddy.
Yeah, I haven't had any of that since my mother was alive. And so it's been a while.
Boy, it'd be a lot while, yeah.
It's been a little while, so.
Yeah.
I may have to, I've got her recipe. Excuse me, but I'm going to have to get it out and make my own.
I was going to say, you'll have to get it out and start practicing.
They don't serve that at the restaurant.
Oh, no, you can't get that at a restaurant. No.
Anybody out there got any good spring recipes for us? Our telephone number here, by the way, is 812-323-1200. Give us a call and tell us what your favorite spring eats are. I hope it's mushrooms.
But the hummingbirds are coming back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you seen some?
Well, yeah. There was two gooses come over the other day, lit on my pond, and I don't know, a pair of hummingbirds got off of each one of them and flew up to the house, to the feeder.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. And then the gooses took off, and they went on north.
You suppose they had to buy a ticket?
I don't know whether them gooses charged them for transportation.
The way everything else is these days, you know that they made those hummingbirds.
Well,
pay.
They may have had to give them a ear of corn apiece or something.
Ear of corn?
Yeah.
You think that would be enough?
Well, that probably wasn't enough. They wanted a little more, probably. Yeah.
Well, the problem with that, with the goose air on the hummingbirds is that they don't leave anymore. They stay in Indiana all winter long.
All winter long, yeah.
So, you know, that goose airline to Mexico isn't working so good anymore.
Not anymore. It used to, but boy, I'm like you. A lot of gooses stay around.
There are a lot of silly gooses standing
around.
Well, yeah. I just got a text that said we've been seeing some sandhill cranes flying over.
Oh, yeah. They've been pretty popular here in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's today, I believe, there's a sandhill crane fest over at Goose Pond for one of them.
This
would be the time. They've been flying in.
You know, a lot of them didn't leave this year either.
No, yeah. They've been seen all winter.
We've been hearing them all winter long.
All winter. So, yeah. You know, there really wasn't no...
Even in the past when we had hard winters, they would stay late. They would stay into ice on these swampy areas where they like.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're pretty hardy creatures. I didn't see but one sandhill crane in Florida this year, and usually they're all over the place this time of year, you know.
Right.
And did see a whooping crane.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, how there's 600 of them or something left.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Is that what they do?
I don't know. There's a whooping crane. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah, they're whooping cranes. What else did I see?
Whoopee, whoopee.
Bluebirds have been coming to the suet feeders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they've been around all winter. They stay all the winter.
There's robins around now.
Oh, yeah. There were robins teaming up down in Florida to come up here.
Well, they're here. Claire's seen, well, both of us seen one or two there at the house.
That's another bird that doesn't always leave for the winter.
I like to see them red birds, the cardinals.
Oh, they're out there
and
right now.
And it's snowing.
Yeah.
And them sitting in a bush and the snow all around the bush, all over the bush. And then, man, I mean, they shine like a silver dollar.
They do.
They're
the
beautiful
pretty,
thing.
They're really a pretty bird.
Oh, they are.
There's just so many of them that we just kind of take them for nature.
Granted, yeah.
You know? And They are. They're the most popular state bird. I think there's 13 states that have the cardinal as their state bird. Including our neighbors down across the Ohio River, that state down there that has blue uniforms and their basketball team. You know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I forget what they call that state now.
I do too. But Turtle Man is from there. You know who Turtle Man is.
Turtle Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where's those call-ins? come on, let's hear those spring recipes. And oh, some guy posted a picture of his concoction of morels with a heavy cream and some other ingredient in a big bowl. And he said he put twice as many morels in them as he usually did. I bet that's really good.
I bet.
Put it in cream?
Heavy cream, right. Heavy cream. Kind
and
of.
And then fry them?
No. They're cooked in a pot. And looked really good.
Well, you'd almost call that cream of mushroom.
Cream
of mushroom soup.
Except, boy, they had so many morels.
Sounds to me like.
it really looked good.
Yeah. Now that
mouse watering.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, those.
Drilling.
Those morels are so much richer than the.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Than the morels you buy at the grocery store.
They're rich.
I don't mean morels, the white mushrooms.
Well, yeah, them. But toadstools.
Yeah, right.
I call them. They call them mushrooms.
This thing of selling mushrooms that we've mentioned in the past is getting bigger every year. Mm-hmm. And that can only be bad news for the morels, because as more and more people get out there and haul off trucks loads of them, that means there's going to be fewer of them out there the next year.
You're right.
Because eventually you can get that underground mycelia down to the point where it won't produce fruiting bodies anymore, and you're not going to have any mushrooms.
My gosh, they're getting $50 and $60 a pound.
Well, that's the problem. And
for them things.
Why don't they put those in the same category as sport fish? Why don't they say, well, you can't sell these. You can pick all you want, but you can't take them down to the grocery store and sell them.
Well, they do.
I know they do. And for some people, this is probably some of the only cash they're able to get. But I'd say for most people, that's not the case. You know, it's just greed again.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got a couple of buckets full of mushrooms, I can get $50 a pound for these down at Babs grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take them down there. And pretty soon everybody's doing that. And then you got guys out there fighting in the woods over them and sneaking into your backwoods to get them off of your property,
right.
Which has been going on for some time.
What's that?
That's music.
We got music and there's no one home.
It says there's 3 minutes left on our...
We used all that time up already.
We used it up.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Time flies when you're having fun,
Bill. Oh, don't it though? Man, and I'm having a ball.
And it's so nice for you being back, Don. So we appreciate
thanks,
that.
That's the reason it went so fast. He's back.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's nice to be missed.
Yeah, we really didn't miss you.
It's only nice to be missed when they're shooting at you.
Right. There you go. Well, by golly, welcome back, Don. And
thanks, man.
We're glad you're back, and hope you had a good time anyway.
Oh, I did.
Bye bye.
So, we'll talk to you later. Bye bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show. Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your